interaction with a patient becomes a part of their legal record.
Definitely.
And for me, or a dentist, hygienists, right, those of us that are licensed seeing patients, that puts us at risk.
Definitely.
So the lack of information, or the having to dig and find and hope and search and not have the confidence, it puts a lot of...
I'd say what a pressure that puts on you guys.
It is a pressure. And I got to tell you, you fail me once, then you fail me twice. It does eat away at this confidence that, listen, I know that you sent a letter, but does that really mean, how do you know that someone actually received it?
Right. Definitely. Or, you know, maybe they did receive it, but is there an easy way to get back to it? You know, let's say I'm actually scanning the scan pile. What if something falls down the side of the scan pile? We know that happened before. It's like, okay, where did that one chart go? And you're like, oh, it's in the crevice next to the printer between the filing cabinet, you know? That's not super great. And then when you come up looking for the chart, you're like, what's going on? It's a mad dash. So I just think, you know, I also, one thing I absolutely love about Loop is not only do you get notified and you get a letter, and it's right there and easy and simple on your dashboard, and you can always get back to it. It lives in that Loop account. And, you know, not only, you know, well, sure, when you have Loop in your practice, you have to dedicate responsibilities to certain people. And you're going to have someone, or maybe there's a couple people, but someone has to move that letter from Loop to your practice management software. Doctors, hygienists, they want a nice, clean, tight place to see all of their stuff about the patient,
mm-hmm.
and rightfully so. We want to make sure that things are efficient and, you know, that you can treat the patient to your fullest capacity without having to rely on the scan pile. But one thing that I think is so reassuring to me is knowing that, you know, even if you do, someone clicks on the letter and it gets missed, or, you know, somehow, some way that letter doesn't get perfectly transitioned into your practice management system, because we understand life happens.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing that, not a matter of digging through the scan pile, and that it, you know, it truly lives on that patient's profile forever and ever. And I think about this, and I immediately, Tracy, think of you telling me about how your one doctor didn't trust the darn computer.
No, we had 3 redundant systems. So it was the big paper appointment book,
mm-hmm.
right? Like that one I call it the hair salon, like your flipping, you can hear the big long pages.
Yep.
You know, I mean, they must have been like 2 feet long on either side. And
so about like 6 computers in
that
space.
Sure. Oh no, there were multiple columns. Right?
Oh my goodness.
And so you're managing multiple columns, and then we would take that and we put it into at the time Easy Dental back in the day, and then we used Practice Works, and then maybe Soft Dent. We used them all, right? We moved around and found this. What we thought would be our best one, and each time we did so, it was this triple duplicate back and forth of no. A doctor wanted it in the book, on the paper chart, and into the computer.
Yeah. So I just think of like doctors like that, and how reassuring it would be. Like, sure, even if I don't trust the computer, I can print that out and put it in the paper chart, and know I got that backup in the computer. And not only do I have the backup in Loop, which we know is hosted on a cloud. It's, you know, it's the big scary cloud, but it's Microsoft cloud. So I believe in Microsoft because they're all our computers and all that good stuff. So not only is, I can put it in a paper chart, love that. Mm-hmm. I can know that it's going to be hosted in the cloud. It's not going to run away from me. Mm-hmm. And then even so, if I have a practice management system and a lot of electronic health record, I can put it there too. Mm-hmm. What a you know, peace of mind, or knowing that, you know, if it fell out of the paper chart, you have that way to get back to it, and you're not relying on a specialist to get it to you.
Or I'm not trying to sift through my email or my junk mail to see if really, oh, I know I found it, or maybe I could find it
I know
again.
It's in here somewhere.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I think keeping that in mind and knowing, you know, there's that extra layer of protection there that you can always get back to. So, of course, you know, when it's great that it could be in all of 3 of those places. But how you get it there, it's a little bit of a process. And, you know, I think like we were talking earlier, you know, when you get that referral notice or the new letter notification, you can click on that. It's going to take you straight to this nice, beautiful letter that your specialist has spent time on, getting you that information you need. And, you know, we thought about you guys and we gave you a few options. So we didn't want to, you know, discriminate and only give you one way to have it. So, of course, if you guys are still rocking those charts, I know our doctors love having something in their hands to hold on to. So we, of course, gave you the option to print. So you can always hit that print button, print it out, put it in your chart. That's the word I'm looking for. You can put it in that chart and have it there as a record, knowing that Luke's got your back, and you can always get back to it if you spill coffee on it or it falls out of the chart. But as well, you know, we didn't want to discriminate any of you guys either and make you print it if you're already, you know, used to doing things digitally. So you also have that download as PDF button. So we gave you a few options there. So I know sometimes that download as PDF is a little bit different than what people can be used to receiving via email. So I just want to give you a couple of quick little tips as to, you know, if I have it as a PDF, what do I do with it? So you hit that download as PDF button. So you're going to want to open that up. It should show up as a little pop-up down in that bottom corner. So when you open that up, first thing you're going to want to do is save it to your computer. So
if I may stop.
Yes.
When you say click the download as PDF, it might not just open up on my computer. It may open up in a small window. I have to find it on my toolbar.
Yeah. So it's going to be, it'll appear as a, and it depends on the settings of your computer. So that's something to be aware of. So, you know, keep that in mind that it might be a little bit different for everyone. Some offices have nice, beautiful settings where it's going to pop right up and be beautiful and wonderful. And other offices, you might have to click on it to get it to open. But it usually shows up down in that bottom corner as a little rectangle, and it's going to have the nice name of the letter. And you can click on that, and it'll pop right open.
Mm-hmm.
So when you click on that, then you're going to want to get it to your computer somehow. So you guys are probably used to doing this with some of your email attachments. And one thing that I have had offices tell me that they've done as a best practice, and especially when they don't like their desktop and things getting all cluttered up.
That's me.
Tracy's like, give me my clean computer desktop.
If I can have it.
Desktop. Yeah. So your best practice here, you could create a little folder on your desktop and you could call it like Luke Letters or Luke or something along those lines. And from there, when you have that PDF open on your computer, save it into that folder. That way, it'll be nice and easy for you to grab when you're in your practice management software.
Okay. So question again.
Yep.
When I go to save it,
mm-hmm.
do I name the file? Is it like,
oh, no, you don't even have to do that.
Okay.
For the letters especially. So when you get that letter, it's going to download it with the patient name, which is huge. Patient name, and then it's going to tell you what kind of letter it is. So if it's a consult letter, it'll say like Bob Smith consult letter. Or Bob Smith extraction letter. Or
I don't have to do all the typing of that.
No, that takes a lot of time. I'm trying to save you time here, Tracy.
And I think, I thought I knew a lot about Luke, but I just learned that piece right now.
Wait, did you just really learn that?
I really just learned that.
Oh my gosh. I love, guys, we're having learning moments.
Yep. Teachable moment.
Exactly. Like, you don't have to go through and rename that letter. It's going to handle that for you. And sometimes practices have, like, very specific ways about how they name it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to change the name, you can.
Okay.
You know, you're not stuck with that name by any means.
Yep.
So you can, you know, I know some offices like to label it by the name of the specialist. So if you want to change that name and, you know, have it be like, you know, oral surgery referral letter, you know, mm-hmm. you can change the name. You're not stuck with it. But at the very least, if it's saved on your computer somewhere, it's not file ABCD123.
Right.
You know what you're clicking for. You know what you're finding. So when you save it in that loop file, you can go to your practice management system, find that patient, go to their document center, which you guys are all pros at. And from there, when you click that import button, you're not trying to be like, oh, was that file 0 or file 1? It's Bob Smith letter. And you can just import that right over, and it'll be right, nice and ready for you.
Yeah, that's really great.
Thank you for listening. This podcast code word is confidence.